Let's read from the book of Hosea, 14th chapter, first verse. Let me encourage you again that if you're not doing anything for God, do something for God. You know, you hear me say that so often, and it sounds a lot of times perhaps to you like a vain repetition. But you remember the things that I'm telling you. You will wish that you had done something for God. You say, Brother Pike, I am going to do something for God, say, tomorrow. But has it ever occurred to you that you said that yesterday, the day before yesterday, and last week you said that, and last month you said that? Has it occurred to you that last year you said that, and the year before you said that, and perhaps the year before and the year before? But what if one day you have a heart attack? What if one night you lay down on your pillow and your heart quits beating? You know, there's not much to a man anyway. It's just a little, all he is just a little breath of life. That's all he is. You know, it's kind of hard when you really sit down and reason things out and think things out according to godliness. It's kind of hard to accept the fact that you're just, as you know, you've heard it said, just a big bag of wind. But that's really all you are. You say, well, I just don't feel like that's all I am. Well, I'll tell you what, take all the wind out of you and see if it ain't all you are. They'll have to put you in a box. So then, unless you're born again, unless you got God in your heart, that's all you are. Man don't amount to nothing but just a big bag of wind. But if he's born again, if he's got God in his life and God in his heart, he's more than just a little oxygen going into a little old muscle called a heart. You know, God breathed the breath of life into man and he became a living soul. And that oxygen that goes into his heart caused it to kind of go pitter-patter, you know, like that. And suppress it a little, just knock the breath out of him, let him fall down or some little something happen, you know, and that's all of him. I mean, that's just all of him. You hit him real good and hard and that's the end of him. Fall from a step or fall from a place, you know, and after a while, you're gone. But man, if he doesn't make that switch over, if he doesn't make that change, if he doesn't come over to eternal life, if he doesn't change over to the spiritual world, I wish tonight that we could just talk about it a little. I don't feel the atmosphere for it tonight. I feel more of an atmosphere, you know, that you'd rather just be exalted a little bit and go home. But I just wish tonight that we had the atmosphere to talk about it, what you really are, what you really could be, and what you really should be, and what they that are going to make real contact with God are going to be. But nevertheless, I ask you to do something for God. Do something for God in the name of Jesus. Do something for God. If you're not doing anything for God, do something for God. If you don't want to do anything at Little Bethlehem, that's all right. Brother Pike, don't feel bad at you. But go somewhere. Do something. Get with somebody. Nail a nail. Saw a board. Dig a ditch. Do something. If you can't, whatever you're called to do or whatever you can do, do it. Because it's going to be required of you in the day of judgment. You stand there and say, well, Brother Pike, I didn't have the call to sing. I didn't have the call to preach. I didn't have the call to do these things. That won't make any difference. God will say, don't you remember all the churches that was built down in the place called earth? Don't you remember all the different things that I had going down there? Don't you remember the many things we could have labored with your hand? You could have done something for me and you didn't do it. Don't you remember all the needs of the orphans and the widows? We could have worked a little bit on the job and supported them. You're going to be without excuse. Every living human being on the face of the earth, old and young alike, can do something for God. So I tell you to do something for God. You say, well, I'm waiting, Brother Pike. I'm waiting. I'm really going to do something for God. But I guarantee you one thing, folks. You can take my word for it or not. But he that is not faithful over a little will not be faithful over a lot. If you will not help dig a hole, sew a board, drive a nail, paint a building, if you will not help a little bit in the office and wherever, you won't do nothing else for God. You'll never do it. You say, oh yes, no you won't. You'll never do it. The scriptures can't be broken. You'll never do it. Jesus said you wouldn't do it, and you won't do it. 10 years from now, you'll still be saying, I'm going to do it. You'll never do it. He that is faithful over little will be faithful over a lot. When a man loves God, he'll do anything that comes to hand. I've been in the ministry numbers of years, but I started off digging in a ditch, nailing a board. I started off sanding floors. I'd be in revival somewhere and sand floors at churches or help them do something around the area. Sometimes a man would be off at work and me and Betty would be staying there at the house. And while Betty and the wife was in there, I'd go out and dig a ditch for him because he needed a ditch dug. The man that is faithful over a little be faithful over a lot. If he won't be faithful over a little, he won't be faithful over a lot. When Betty and I was in the state of Nebraska, I had to go out in the fields and work in the hay fields to be able to have a little something to eat. And when I was at home or when I was around, I didn't lounge around with my wife. I stayed in my room or I went somewhere or talked to God. All day long I was studying, praying, reading, or off by myself, preparing myself for God, wanting to be alone with God. Driven many nights, night after night, when Betty and the children be hard and fast asleep in the car. So weary I couldn't hold my head up, talking to God, laboring for God. It was my labor for God. Going on, trying to do something for Jesus. When I worked on a job, I'd go from door to door, and I'd testify of the Lord Jesus Christ and sit down and tell about Jesus. There, if I could get into the living room, or if I could meet them on the street or down at the corner store or wherever, I'd tell them about Jesus. Faithful over a little, God will make you ruler over a lot. But if you don't find anything that you can do among the brethren, I guarantee you'll never do anything. Say, so, well, we'll see. All right, we'll wait and see. Time is passing. I was thinking the other day, I've heard some of them talk about what God was going to do for them and what they was going to do for God. I heard them say it 5 years ago. I heard them say it 10 years ago. I sat back and I waited. I said within my heart, I said, God, it'll never be. It'll never be. The man that talks about what he's going to do and this and that and the other, he'll never do it. But the man that says, God, help me to win souls, and the man that applies himself and does everything he can find to do for God in any way that he can find to do it, that man will wind up doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ and winning souls, and that man will grow bigger and bigger and bigger. The other man will talk, that's all it'll ever amount to. He'll never do nothing for God. So I tell you again, do something for Jesus. You men that are going to work around here, you ladies that's going to work around here, that come to work for God when you got a day to work for Him, and you don't come till 3 or 4 o'clock in the evening, there ain't no need to come do that. If you had an emergency and you couldn't help it, you know, or if you was at home praying or home seeking God, or you had to really genuinely do something that was absolutely necessary. Whereas the flesh has always got something that you need to do. There's always something that needs to be done at home and needs to be done here and there, the flesh. You know, all Pharaoh's always got some brick for you to make. Did you know that? Some bills for you to pay, something for you to do. Somebody will always call you. But I mean, if you really got something that's an emergency, the Lord understands that. But a man, if he's got a day he's going to give to God, and he gets there at 2 or 3 o'clock in the evening, and he hasn't done anything for God. He just fooled himself. He hasn't done anything for God. Give God a day. Give God a little bit of time. I say this again to you. I've said it at men's meeting the other night. I want to repeat it again tonight before I read my text. We are out to win souls. All of this is what it's all about. That's why I keep telling you over and over. If you're going to give God a day, give Him a day. If you're going to take 4 days off, work the day that you give Him. Get there at a reasonable hour the day that you give Him. And then when you get there, don't just fellowship. Go on, do your job. If you stop to drink a Coca-Cola, talk a little while, fellowship a little while. Make sure that you get something done that day. Brethren, set a goal. I've tried my best to get my fellows here to set a goal. You'll never accomplish anything unless you set a goal. You've got to set a goal to accomplish anything. If you don't have anything laid out before you and you're just going over there to get done whatever you can get done, whenever you can get it done, you'll never do anything. There ain't no business in the world that can operate like that. Any businessman will tell you that he's got a budget to meet. He's got so much that he's got to turn out. He's got so much he's got to do. And he sets that thing out before him. He doesn't just go out there happy-go-lucky with you painters or carpenters or whatever you are or employees and just say, you know, whatever you get done. He don't do that. He's got a schedule. He's got something he's got to meet to keep operating. And if my overseers and my workers can't fill out work orders and program men to have them come in and to have some system, set some goal of what they're going to have done at the end of that day, they'll never amount to nothing. They'll soon be old and gone. Others will take their place and their lives won't have amounted to nothing. But I tell you what, set your goal, pick you out something, have something laid out before you what you're going to do, the hours that you're going to get there, the hours that you're going to spend. And those work orders that we've got down there, the ladies are going to have to start using them too. The ladies are going to have to use a work order. I wish I had one of them tonight. But anyway, the work order's got four pages to it. And the whole thing, can you get one right quick? Now, this is what it's all about, is winning souls, so it's not out of order for me to do this. This is where it's supposed to be done. Now, they all had a mind to work. They built a house of God. And if we'll start using system, work orders, and different things, not only is this for little Bethlehem, but this is for Mexico, and this is for the foreign fields, and this is for everything that we'll do, wherever we do it. These orders and these systems and these oversights, they are for all of our world outreach, which is expanding more and more, and I believe this year will really expand. It's for every bit of that, to have order, to have system, to have a goal, to have an accomplishment, not just coming to church, just saying, well, I want to get fed tonight, and I want to hear the Word of God tonight, going back home all day long, just doing nothing and just frolicking around and fussing and a-feuding and coming back to church and hearing the Word of God and going. There ain't nothing to that, folks. There ain't nothing to that. You hear the overseer of the Emmanuel Holiness Church stand here the other night, been in there 17 years and an overseer for 8 years, and said they had just a bunch of babies, even for overseers. You know what caused him to say that? He's a good man. But he realized when he come face to face with things, how little that he's understood through the years in being with that. And when he realized how little he understood, then he knew, as advanced as he was among the people, the others surely couldn't understand very much. That's what it was. That's what his spirit testified to. So then, just coming to church and going and coming to church, folks, we can't do that. We've got to do something for God. If you are busy raising a family and too busy looking after your family to do something for God, that's your business. I don't fall out with you. That's your business. But you're still going to die and go to hell, because raising the family isn't going to take you to heaven. Now, if you're too busy making money, setting up a business, getting gain, whatever you're doing, you're still going to die and go to hell. Making money, getting gain, isn't going to take you to heaven. You're going to have to raise your family, feed your family, care on your business, do whatever you got to do, and then find time out of all of that to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. To give of your finance to the Lord Jesus Christ, to give of your time in prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to give of your service in world evangelism or an operation somewhere in something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to do every bit of that. You can't just say, well, I'm going to do this and that's going to be it. God won't have it that way. You can give $1 million every night you come to this church, and if you don't have a prayer life, you'll die and go to hell. You can pray every night and have finance and not give of your finance, and you'll still die and go to hell. You can fast until you fall dead in your tracks and they put you in a box, and not live a Christian life, and you'll still die and go to hell. So then, brethren, it's going to have to be line upon line and precept upon precept. It's going to have to be according to the book, or God won't have it. Anything less than that, God won't have. When you come on the job to do something for God, if you come and you spent most of the day just frolicking around, You're trying to give God the halt, the lame, and the blind of that day. That's what you're doing. If you half do a job, you're giving God the halt, the lame, and the blind. If you half live a Christian life, you're giving God the halt, the lame, and the blind. If you don't tell the truth all the way when you're testifying of the gospel, you're trying to give to God the halt, the lame, and the blind. When whatever you do, you've got to do it with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. I'd rather give one day to God and designate that day for God and make sure I don't give him the halt, lame, and blind than to give him 6 months and to give him halt, lame, and blind. That's the truth from the bottom of my heart. I'd rather do it that way. So if we're going to do anything, there's nothing less to God, or that is that he will accept, except a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which he says, I will accept your reasonable service. If you will offer me your reasonable service, I will accept it. My reasonable service would be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. Therefore, if you will offer me your reasonable service, he said, I will accept it. All right, we're going to go ahead and read. If we get the other, we can do that later. Hosea 14, chapter 1st verse, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his root as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. All right. He tells us here, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. God tells us here that he's willing to heal our backslidings. Willing to heal our backslidings. If we're willing to confess our sins, God's willing to heal our backslidings. But it's one thing that we've got to remember, and that is, unless we forsake our wrongs after that we have confessed our wrongs, God isn't going to forgive us. It doesn't make any difference, folks, how much that I confess my wrongs. If I don't get away from my wrongs, God won't hear me. Here at Little Bethlehem, I preach over and over, day after day, not only to you, but to all those that can hear us that go out when it goes out by our way. But I preach to you over and over that you've got to forsake your sins, that you've got to get away from your iniquities, that you've got to shape your lives according to righteousness. And still, in spite of all that I say, you don't pay any attention to me. I have people that sit in our midst when I am pleading and I am praying and I am begging you to repent of your sins and them to do right. I have people to sit in my midst just as wicked and just as wretched as they can be. You can't realize how wretched and low down and evil and wicked a person can be and still sit in your midst, hear you preach every day, hear you tell them about the love of God every day that comes around, still be just as wretched and wicked as they can be, Pay no attention to what you say. Catalog nothing that you say or do. And just as quick as they get in trouble, then they say, I want to do right. Then they cry. Then they weep. Then they say, I'm sorry. Yet you told them and told them and told them over and over, begged them and pleaded with them over and over not to do it. They pay no attention to it. They do their own thing, think their own thoughts, go their own way, still mix jealousy and envy and strife and malice and lust and covetousness and hatred and all of these things with their lives. And yet just as soon as disaster befalls them, as soon as a complex comes over them, they say, but Brother Pike, I was planning. Or Brother Pike, I didn't mean to do that. Oh, I tell you this so many times. If you walk up and you pluck a man's eyes out, after you pluck that man's eyes out, you can stand there and bawl and cry. Tears can stream down your cheeks and you can say, I'm sorry, I wouldn't have done it for nothing. That doesn't help that man one bit. He's just as blind as if you never said a word. What good is that going to do? A man, get him a bottle of booze and get in a car. Go down the road and have a wreck and kill your little child. And you're standing there with your dead baby in the arm. And you're standing there looking at him. And he says, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. What good is that going to do that dead baby? Your baby is dead. It doesn't make any difference how sorry he is. The law told him not to do it. You told him not to do it. He had a conscience that told him not to do it. But he still murdered your baby. Somebody say, I love God. When a man wrecks your home, sits in the midst of the congregation, hears the preaching of the gospel, and still undermines your home and tears it down, and gets just as wretched and low down as he can be when you told him over and over not to do it. And then after he wrecks your home, wrecks his life, wrecks everything, walks over the blood of Jesus Christ and counts it an unholy thing, then he says, I'm sorry. What good is that? What good is that? Folks, let me tell you something. The thing is, you shouldn't do it. Somebody said, but I just can't help it. You are a liar. You can help it. Somebody said, but I'm possessed with the devil. I just can't help it. All you got to do is resist the devil and the devil will flee from you. The Bible said so. If you'll resist the devil, you can help it. You can't help it if you don't put up any resistance. If every time you want a bottle of booze or a little dope and you want to frolic and you want to go out here and turn your passions loose to the world out there, you women and men alike, you can't help it because you don't make any effort to help it. I know you don't like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You can't help it. You say, oh, I just can't help it. You're lying. You could help it if you would help it. You don't try to help it. I'll tell you one thing, when you stand before the judge and the judge says 10 years, you help it. When a policeman comes along with a billy stick and he puts the cuffs on your hands and he bops you upside the head a few times, you help it. Somebody say amen. How do you help it then? You help it because you know he'll knock your head in with that stick. You'll help it because you know that he's going to put you behind bars. You help it. I've seen some big bad fellers run up and strike at the police, but by the time they beat his head with the billy stick a little bit, he got just as straightened out and he could help it. He didn't strike at no more of them. Folks, you can help it. Somebody said, I just can't help it, all these filthy thoughts and these filthy dreams. Oh, Brother Pike, I had a dream about your wife. And Brother Pike, I had a dream about your daughter. And Brother Isla had a dream about your wife. And Brother Jimmy, I had a dream about your wife. And Brother Gary had a dream about your daughter. The Bible said, you filthy dreamers. If you'd get your heart straightened out and get your mind straightened out and get your thinking out of the gutter, you wouldn't have all those kind of dreams. I don't care about you coming telling me none of them. I don't want to hear them. If you've got to go through the hog pen and wade through the slop of this world, I don't want to hear your dreams. Keep them to yourself. You say, well, I think you ought to know them. I think if I need to know him, God will tell me about him. He don't have to bring something through the hog pen to get it over to me for me to know about it. If you come and tell me a dream, if it's of God, then I appreciate it. But some of you, when you come and tell a dream, you can just tell that old devil of lust is just gnawing at you while you're talking. I think no wonder you had the dream you had. I believe in having a clean mind, folks. I believe you ought to have a clean mind in the church. I believe you ought to have a clean mind on the campground. I don't believe that your mind ought to be polluted with gossip and backbiting. And every time you get home, rear back in a chair and start telling your wife about this and how that you've been mistreated and the brethren have mistreated you and the sisters have mistreated you and they've mistreated your children and you think this and you think that. What does God care about what you think? God don't care about what you think. All you're doing, you're just having a brainstorm up here. That's all you're doing. A devil is giving you a brainstorm. Ain't nobody mistreated you. Ain't nobody mistreated your children. You're just full of gossip. You're just an old reprobate to every good work. And you're looking for an excuse and a way to get out of it. And you'll do anything in the world to get out of it. So that it won't cost you a dime. So that you can excuse yourself while others are giving. So that you won't have to come and help with the load. So that you can run your mouth on and on and on and say what you want to and still feel justified. But you're going to hell for it. You're going to go to hell for doing those things. To sit in the church and be jealous. To find fault. To be resentful. To go out here and break up homes, to surmise, to drink on the campground and to frolic and to do the evil that you're doing. You're going to go to hell for those things. No need to tell me you can't help them kind of things. That's foolishness. When you want to get in a car to go somewhere, don't you get in the car and go? Can't you turn the switch on? Can't you crank the automobile up? Can't you go up there when you take an ocean to get a Coca-Cola? How is it that you can do all of them things and not stay away from the bottle and drinking on this campground and throwing beer bottles around? How is it you can do all those things? How is it that you go where you want to, do what you want to, and say what you want to? But when it comes to messing God's house up, messing the campground up, messing the lives of people up, you just can't help it. People are mistreating you. They need to give you a helping hand. You know that you are a liar, and you know that you are a wretch, and you know that you're doing those things, evilly doing those things, because you love the world and you are filled with the devil. Somebody say, I love the Lord. I said, because you love the world and you are filled with the devil. That's why you're doing those things. And when you get the devil out of you, you'll be all right. You say, I can't do it. How is it you get in your car? How is it you do that? Brother, you don't have to do those evil low-down things. You women that do those evil undermining things, you don't have to do those things. I love you, but I've been preaching for a long, long time. I've traveled around the different parts of the world. I've met all kinds of people, demon-possessed people. I've met all kinds of people. People can help from doing it if they want to help from doing it. You don't have to sit on the bench and be jealous and be ugly and be filth in your mind and find fault with the preacher and everybody else. You're just filled with the devil. That's why you do it. I love you, brother and sister, and I want to help you. But we need to get straight with God, and we need to get honest. I believe that a man that'll come on this campground and drink and go on and abuse his family or throw beer cans down on this campground or smoke, I believe he is filled with the devil. I believe that any daddy that will allow him to do it, or mother that will allow him to do it, is filled with the devil. I believe that. I believe that if a mother or daddy will let a television set in their home and let their children watch the ungodly things of television, that mother and daddy is full of the devil. Somebody say, I love the Lord. Say, Brother Pike, you don't mean that. I mean every word of it. Every word of it. With clothes that's ungodly, run around in shorts and tights and in the home and just do any old way, they are full of the devil. They are full of the devil, or they wouldn't do it. Somebody said, I just can't do nothing with my children. Oh, don't lie. Don't lie against the truth. You know better than that. You say, well, what can I do with them? Brother, sister, if I couldn't do nothing with my boy, with my girl, I would walk off and leave them and go 1,000 miles away if I had to hitchhike or walk through the woods or crawl before I'd live with the devil. You love Jesus? Say, Brother Pike, what in the world's wrong with you? I'm going to let you figure it out. Some of the low-down, this filth, this ungodly, worldly things, when I beg and plead and ask you not to do it, things that will break the heart, tear homes up, cause murder, cause people to be killed, and they still get down in the slop holes when I tell them not to do it. Oh, brother and sister, let me tell you something. God will visit you for those things. The Bible says that for these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. I love you and I wouldn't hurt you for nothing in the world, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You men that stay home and lounge around and say, I'm just so tore up, I can't do nothing at the campground. I'm just so tore up. You ought to get straight with God. If that ain't the devil, I never heard of it in my life. You keep your wife tore up. You keep your children tore up. You keep the people tore up on the job. You keep everybody tore up. All because you're too lazy to do anything for God or to get down to business and pray a little bit and ask God to help you. You women that just drift here and drift there and drift uptown, drift over yonder, don't have any coordination of your life, don't have any system, don't have any home life, never watch your children, never know where they're at, never understand nothing. You know what's wrong with you? The devil's got a hold of you. And he's just driving you everywhere. And you men that are supposed to be such great businessmen, just drift around on the job, drift around on the job. Never do anything but yak at some woman and talk to some woman and drift over here. You are full of the devil or you wouldn't do that. Somebody say amen. You are filled with the devil. No God man would spend his time doing such filthy things. You need to get right with God. You say, but I prayed, I fasted. I don't care what you've done. You are full of the devil or you wouldn't do those things. Balaam fasted, Balaam prayed, Balaam saw visions with his eyes open because you feel you got a gift. That still don't mean you ain't full of the devil. The Bible said Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. He worked a right-hand man with the devil. Folks, let me tell you something. Gifts don't mean you got nothing. Fasting don't mean you got nothing. Praying don't mean you got nothing. Coming to church don't mean you got nothing. Giving in the offering don't mean you got nothing. It's when you manifest the life of Jesus Christ in the fruits of the Spirit and in godliness and in righteousness, that's when you got something. Anything else you do, you don't have anything. All of the world does those things. There's people that go to church regular that hadn't missed a day in church for many years. They're full of the devil. They got a regularity of smoking their cigar and going around and inviting everybody to church on Sunday morning. I've known of them being superintendents of the churches and whatever. Folks, why don't we wake up? Why do we have these filthy, evil, low-down, ungodly things in the midst of us? Why do we do that? When the Bible said, know ye not that a little leaven shall leaven the whole lump? Purge out that old leaven. Get rid of it. Get it out and put it away from you. You say, well, Brother Pike, why is it that you tolerate it? I tolerate it because I love you and I'm trying to help you. But brethren, let me tell you, I keep telling you over and over, we're just going to stretch so far. So far, and that's all. And then you're going to have to get out from among us because we ain't going to have you. You're going to have to get out from among us. You say, oh, let them grow together. You know where that belongs. In the world, let them grow together. Not in the church. Not in the church, my brother and sister. Now then, you're welcome to come to the house of God as much as you want to. Drunkards come, harlots come, murderers come, liars come, cheats come. But I want you to know one thing. To the murderer, to the liar, to the cheat, to the harlot, I got one message for you. And that is, outside of those gates are murderers and liars and whoremongers and dogs. You can come to church all you want to. But if you don't repent of your sins and get right with God, you have no part, no lot in this matter whatsoever. You are still outside of those gates, and God does not include you in His plans. Now, He only brings you to the house of God to get you to listen to the Word of God so that you can make a change. It's shocking. Oh, brother and sister, it is so shocking, it literally just tears me to pieces to think that anybody, and as many as there is, that can hear me say the things that I say and give the warnings that I give and tell the things that I tell and still come back whining like a little old puppy after they do their evil, low-down, ungodly filth and say, I can't help it. You people that beat your fellow man out yonder, you beat them out there. When you make a deal with them and you take their money, you are lying and you are full of the devil, or you wouldn't do that. A man that will go out here and make a deal out there and pull something over on that man, he is filled with the devil. Only the devil would do that. You can't tell me Christ Jesus would do that. Nobody would do that that's got God. Ain't nobody would do it that's got God. When you get in one of these offices around here and you just hem-haw around and you just play around, and you keep this office tied up, and you won't do no way, and you won't let nobody program your mind, you're filled with the devil. The devil has got you at work. Brother, sister, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you're going to have fellowship one with another. You're going to love your fellow man. You're going to try to pay your bills. You're going to try to be godly. You're going to be try to be upright. You're going to love your neighbor's wife with all purity and your neighbor as yourself. You're not going to try to undermine your neighbor or neighbor's wife. You're not going to try to undermine your brother. You're not going to sit and think filthy thoughts and let your mind think over here about some other brother or some other sister. You know, we all just a bunch of brothers and sisters. And I love my wife and I love my husband, but I am noticing this lady over here or this man over here because my husband or wife could die. Who knows? It might be that dear brother that I married or sister. Why, you're full of the devil. Full of the devil to even have such thoughts and allow him to be there. Only a person filled with the devil could think like that. If you're holy and godly and pure, you're going to have a clean heart. Some of you women that are not married, some of you men that are not married, to let your mind all the time dwell on some woman or some man or some field, it's Satan. It is Satan that's doing that. Folks, why don't we face the issue? Why don't we be a real man and a real woman and stand up and say, God, if I don't walk according to the Word of God, it can't be but one thing, and that's Satan. There ain't no need of trying to pass the buck, as Brother Branham used to say, and Adam blaming on Eve and Eve blaming on Adam and whatever. If you don't live right, you just ain't right, that's all. If you don't walk according to holiness and according to the Word of God and make a godly effort to pay your bills and to be straight with your fellow man and to pray and be filled with the Spirit so that you can have the love of God to live righteously and manifest the fruits of the Spirit, you ain't right with God. Why don't you just acknowledge it? Now, God said, Israel, I'll heal your backsliding. I'll love you just as the dewdrops coming down. But you're going to have to do what I tell you to do. You're going to have to straighten up. You're going to have to quit this whining and going around and saying, I can't help this and I can't help that. Oh, brethren, let me tell you something. God is going to bring heartaches to your home. He's going to bring sorrow to your home. You trouble me and God will trouble you. You're going to have misery. You're going to have problems. You're going to have all kinds of things. You can't do those things that you're doing and get by with them. There ain't no way. You go home to your little wife and your little family and you practice debauchery. You practice uncleanness in your home and family relations. And you practice filth. And then you come back and all of that mess is all over you. And you're covered up with it and you say, oh, Brother Pike, God bless you. I love you, Brother Pike. I want you to work with me. I know, Brother Pike, that you know. Why, you know you're filled with the devil and all you're trying to do is just work around in a slimy way, hoping that the devil will let you go on and on until you can cause more trouble.
You need to get out of that unclean, filthy, low-down, evil way of doing. Straighten up and be a man and a woman, and you can do it if you want to do it. You don't do it because you're filled with the devil and you don't want to do it. And you're here because the devil has put you here for one reason, and that is to cause problems and troubles and to pollute the rest. And God will get you just as sure as you're breathing, He'll get you. And when He gets you, He'll put a finishing touch on it to where you won't never do those evil, low-down things no more. And you say, I know that you know, Brother Pike. I sure do know. Thanks to God, I know. I'm glad that He does let me know. I not only know, but I know that you're of the devil, and I know that that's what you're doing, and I know why you're doing it. And I just call you friend a lot of times, just like Jesus did Judas. Keep on going. I want you to know one thing. There are some people that love God. There are some clean people, some holy people, and some godly people. There ain't a lot of them, but there's some of them. I'm going to say this, just a little more exhortation. I made this strong and plain tonight. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're going to hear about things that's going to tear you from limb to limb. They're going to shock you to the core of your soul. But I want you to pray. Satan isn't through striking. He's been striking and striking. I want you to pray. Watch and pray. And folks, depart from uncleanness. Depart from evil. Pray, fast, and seek God. Because there ain't a church on the face of the earth today but what Satan hasn't gotten into it. Not one of any sect or people. And the Lord God of heaven has chosen the people of Bethlehem to do a special work and to be a special light. And just as sure as you don't walk circumspectly to let your light shine, God's going to get you. You young boys, even teenagers, and you young girls, with your low-down, filthy minds and your filthy evils and undermining doings, somebody said, work with them precious little darlings. Them people are filled with the devil. There's nothing about them that's a precious little darling. The Bible said, spare the rod and spoil the child. They need to be straightened out, and the devil needs to be drove out of them, and they need to walk upright before God. There's nothing about them being precious little darlings. Some of them is literally filled with the devil. And they need to be rebuked, and they need to be reproved, and they need to be taught right. And mom and daddy say, well, I have to ease along with them because they'll get temperamental and fly apart. If daddy'd fly apart and take his belt and lash them good, they'd fly back together pretty quick. I said, well, I don't know that. Well, I do know it because I've tried it. It works. What it is, you let a devil come into your home. I saw a home over in the Carolinas. I was talking to my wife about it the other day. Over in the Carolinas, and this young boy wasn't about 14 or 15 years old. And when he come into the house, it looked like his mother and dad was about to have tremors. A little old skinny rail looking boy come in, just half scare them to death. The man had money. The man had a nice home. The man had prestige. The man was intelligent. The man had ability. What was it about that little skinny-looking feller? It was the devil. He was possessed with the devil. And that devil literally scared them out of their minds. Brother, sister, let me ask you, are you going to let the devil run you around like a hound dog? Ain't you going to have enough God, enough boldness to put your foot down and say, I ain't going to tolerate that at my home. I ain't going to have it. You say, Brother Pike, what would you do? I'd do what I've done. I told my children, I said, I ain't going to have it. I said, I love you, but I'll beat your hide. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, I love you, but I'll beat your hide with this belt. I ain't going to have it. And I said, what more, you that are big enough to get out, that know what to do, that won't abide by my rules and regulations of godliness, that don't love my God and respect my people. I said, there's the door. Get out and stay out and don't come back no more till you can respect God and respect my rules and respect my people. I'm going to say, my Brother Pike, you mean you talk like that? As sure as the world, I do. As sure as you live, I do. and even stronger sometimes. Let me tell you something. When Jesus come in and turned them tables over and popped that whip, he wasn't playing games. When he said, "Get out of here, you've made my Father's house a den of thieves," he meant every word he said. You that don't have enough backbone, enough God to get in with a brotherhood, to get in with a sisterhood, to stand for godliness, to stand for righteousness, above your son, above your daughter, above your wife, above your husband, above everybody, you don't have God. If a man can't love God above his wife, if a woman can't love God above her husband, if they can't love God above their children and above their mother and daddy and relatives, they don't have God. They may be a religious person. They might have been a religious person for 25 years. They might have been with the brethren. They might have looked good. They might have preached. They might have done this, but they don't have God. They've never been born again. Never. Well, I don't believe that. I know, because you've got an evil heart of unbelief, which proves even more that you don't have God. Brothers and sisters, the man that's got God will sell all that he's got to purchase this field. It don't matter whether it's his son. He'll leave his son. He'll leave his daughter. He'll leave his wife. He'll leave his business. He'll leave his ambitions. He'll leave his desire. He'll leave everything he's got to be like Christ. If he doesn't do it, he didn't find the pearl of great price. I love you, but I want you to know that things is changing. Things is changing. You're going to have to face up and do right. There's already been two things been written and issued for different ones to move off the campground. I've already got the letters. Some of them came to me and said something about it. I said, it's just like the governors and the brethren wrote it. That's what you got to do. Some of you others, I've stretched out. I've done everything I can. I've worked with you. I've tried my best to be just as kind to you as I know how to be. But you're not going to stay here and corrupt this thing that God is trying to make into something great. If you can't keep your children out of your home and them drinking and gambling and smoking and cursing and frolicking and taking up time with the opposite sex and everything else, you're going to move off of this campground. I don't care what you are, who you are, you're going to move. If you're going to whine and go on, and this week you're going to do this and do that, and the next week you're going to do this and that, and you're going to be up and down and drunk and in and out and up and down and drunk and in and out, you're going to move off the campground. You're not going to stay here. We don't want you. We don't have no part in the lot for you. You don't have any part in the lot in the matter. The minister said your heart's not right with God. You're in the galls of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity. And we don't want you. We don't have any place for you. You that want to live for God, don't want to gossip and backbite and find fault and run your neighbor down, we got a place for you. We love you. We'll do anything in the world we can for you. We'll share with you. We'll do anything we possibly can to help you. But if you're going to gossip, backbite, bring your relatives in all kind of ungodly manners, break the rules and everything else, you don't need to be here. You need to be moving, because we're not going to tolerate it. All right, I can tell I ain't getting no amens and respond, but it's going to be just that way. Now, I love you, but I want you to know something. When God is merciful, he's merciful. When he's kind, he's kind. When he's forgiving, he's forgiving. When he brings judgment, he brings judgment just as thorough as he does grace. And things is changing. It's time for us to do something for God. We have bore with you and worked with you and done everything we could with some of you to keep you from gossiping, backbiting, tearing down, frolicking and doing all these things, and you haven't paid any attention to it. Not any. I had somebody just recently come and said, I haven't paid any attention to the rules of the camp, right? To me, it's just another place to live. But brethren, you're going to pay some attention to it, or it ain't going to be another place to live. If you're going to work in the offices and going to work with us, you're going to do it according to system, according to the Word of God, according to the way that God has laid it down, according to what we understand that God wants, or you're not going to work with us in the offices. I'm telling you this tonight. I hope you'll take me at my word, because I mean every bit of it. Not that I'm not going to be merciful. Not that I'm not going to be gracious. Not that I'm going to be not going to be kind. But I'm going to be straight with you. We're just not going to go on putting up with what we put up with. We've got to do something for God. And if you want to love us and work with us, that's all right. Say, well, this is my cue to get out. That's all right. That's your business. If you want to go, I love you. You can go. But it won't bother me in the least. I just want them that want to do something for God, that want to work with me. And when all of them turns and goes away and I have Gideon's few, we're going to do something for God. We've got a battle ahead, and I don't want any wishy-washy, half-hearted people that say, well, I think I should be at Bethlehem. I think I should be over yonder. I don't know today. I think I should be here tomorrow. I think I should be over yonder. We don't need you at Bethlehem. You need to go wherever you think you ought to be. Because if you're double-minded, you're unstable in all of your ways, even with me or whoever you're with, you're not going to be any good to me at Bethlehem or anywhere else either. So there's no need of bothering. The Bible said if you perceive there's no understanding in a man, to go from him. If some of you that don't have any understanding, any desire to do anything for God, any desire to have system in your life, you can't help me. You can't help God. You can't even help your own self. But you that are willing to listen to God's word and take God's word as a guideline, you that are willing to walk with me, you that are willing to forsake your wives and families and husbands and relatives and friends and personal ambitions, I want you to get in here with me. I may not have but 10. I may not have that many. Jesus lost the entire 70 and didn't ask if the 12 would leave. But one thing about it, what I got left, we're going to do something for God, folks. We're going to do something for God. Going to do something for God. You love Jesus? I appreciate John raising his hand the other night. I saw a vision where I just looked like everybody backed off. Just looked like everybody backed off. But John, I saw him and maybe one, two more. I appreciate that, John. But in the vision, it remained the same. Folks, we're going to do something for God. You can back off and do whatever you want to and be half-hearted and double-minded and hypocritical, but we're going to do something for Christ Jesus. By His help and by His grace. All right. You're going to find out as the days go on that some of the low-down, this filthy, ungodly, messy mess that's been among some of you people, some of the most ungodly that you ever heard of, you're going to find out. You're going to boil like a teapot. You're going to steam. But you're going to remember, Brother Pike told us, it was in the mist, but they wouldn't pay any attention. But as the day goes on and the night gets darker, you're going to find out there's some men and women that's filled with the light of God that's going to shine brighter and brighter, more and more unto that perfect day. They're going to live right, and the Bible said there'll be so few, the trees of God, that a little child will be able to number them. But it's narrowing down now to that rapture, to the translation. All right, I love you, and I told you these things so that nobody won't have to come and tell you. Told them to you in love but firmness. What I said, I believe. You say, Brother Pike, wouldn't you like to back up on that? Not anything. I told you what I believe. I told you what the Bible teaches. I told you like it is. You need to get right with God. Stop all of this childishness and grow up. When I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. All right, let's stand together. The Bible said we use great plainness of speech. When I talk to you fellas, I talk to you sisters, I use great plainness of speech. You know exactly what I'm saying. You understand. There's no mistake about it. It's not foggy to where you can't understand. Paul said rude in speech, not in knowledge. What I say to you has an air of rudeness about it. The Bible said it would have that. But not in knowledge. The knowledge that's behind it is not rude at all. It's absolutely laid to the line. So then I want you to do right. God loves you, though He has to speak rude to you. Say, how can it be God? The Bible said, not you that speaketh, but the Lord that speaketh from within you, and rude in speech, Paul said. But not in knowledge. Sometimes He has to speak rude to you. Really not rudeness, but the way you term rudeness, to let you know that He's through with your foolishness, that He's not going to put up with it. So So you can love me, you can hate me, you can go off and pout, puff, say things. Well, Brother Pike, such and such and such. But it still remains the same. It still remains the same. Let's sing a little chorus together. Jesus said, love one another. If you walk in the light as He's in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. You'll love one another. You'll do right. The world is dying. They need help. They don't need a bunch of people that's going to be wishy-washy. They don't need a bunch of people that's going to be all mixed up and messed up in their marriages. They don't need somebody to come to them that's ugly and filthy and lewd. They need somebody that loves God. The Bible said somebody that is of a good report of them that are without, filled with the Spirit. Them that love God, them that have faith, them that are of a good report among the brethren. Let them be perfect, the Bible said. Let them be perfect. Let their wives be blameless if they be leaders. Let their wives be blameless. Let them be perfect. Paul said to as many as be perfect, we thus speak. I want you to press in, fellas. I want you to press in, sisters. I want you to do right. Get your lives straightened out now. Get your heart straightened out now. Like the song said, it's time to get started on the way home. Time to get started. Time's growing late. It's time to get started on home now. Been a lot of playing, a lot of frolic, a lot of foolishness. But as I live before God, it won't be no more. The Lord's going to cut down tree after tree. Nothing done in the dark, it won't come to the light. I know these things a lot of times, and I see them days and months ahead. But I don't say anything because there's seasons of grace. There's seasons of refreshing. There's allegoric periods that we go through where God says, don't say nothing, son. Don't do nothing. Not time. And then there is seasons to where God will say, this is the hour. This is the time. Judgment will begin at the house of God. This is the hour. This is the time. So I ask you in Jesus' name to do something. Folks, I tell you the truth and lie not. America has seen her day. She's at the close of her day. It's sundown for America. God has been merciful. God has been loving. God has been kind. God has been pitiful, pitying His people. He has put up with everything that can be imaginable. But He isn't going to do it from here on out. You mark my words, He isn't going to do it. God's going to call you to record over it. He isn't going to do it anymore. Knowledge is in the earth. He isn't going to do it anymore. America has had her day. The hearts of the evangelists are leaving America. They're turning to the outer courts. And it's time for the redemption of the body. And they're going to the outer courts. Men like David Terrell, fasting and praying, begging and pleading. Over in Haiti, the fields all around, don't have much time for America. Other great men, their hearts have gone to the fields. And about all that's left in America, that's really pounding away at America is a bunch of money men on the different clubs, as they call them, and different things, trying to get more of this, to get more of that, to get more money. The Bible said, of this kind, of this kind, of this kind are they that creep into homes. Creep into homes. The Bible speaks of that which creepeth. That which creepeth into home. And they take silly women that are laden with divers or different lust. Silly women, they creep into homes of this kind. They creep into home and take silly women that are laden with divers lust. Getting money out of them, getting them to support their cause, getting them to get their claws into their husband. Silly women, filled with lust to get a hold of their husbands and the businesses and what they're doing. Silly women, they get a hold of those women. Creep in there,
They're laden with divers lust, and they draw them by their feminine appeal and their feminish plans and ways. And they lead them, the blind leading the blind, they both fall into the ditch. America is gone. She's gone just as sure as I stand behind the sacred desk. She is gone. It isn't a matter, folks, of her going. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, it does look bad for her. It looks like she might slip and fall. America has already failed. She is gone. Not going to go, folks. She is gone. She's done passed on. She's gone. That means that there's nothing left but judgment for her. And you, brethren, some false brethren, sisters, false sisters, the Bible speaks of them, that trouble, cause problems, won't help, just hinder, just tear down, always causing division, whining, going on about somebody mistreating you, or you can't overcome because of this or that. You are in trouble up to your neck. You are in trouble. You that have excused yourself and not lived right, not done this that's right, and omitted this part of the Bible and that part of the Bible, and said, well, I couldn't do this, but God still loved me. I know the preacher said I ought to do it. I know the Bible said I ought to do it, but omit it. You are in trouble up to your neck. The judgments of God is upon you. I tell you, you're standing before the judge of all the earth right now and don't realize it. You don't understand. When a man stands before the judge, when he's done wrong and he stands before the judge, my brother, he's in trouble. Especially when he's a third offender. And I tell you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you need to do something. Judgment begins at the house of God. You need to do something. Christ is in the midst of us. We've gathered together in His name. Yeah, I know you can surmise. I know you can say things and think things. Jesus said, why do thoughts arise in your heart? Why have you gathered yourself together? Is it not against my Christ? Isn't that the reason? But you'll see and you'll know and you'll understand too late. But you that love God, you'll believe. The just shall live by faith. You'll believe. You'll be all right. You'll believe. Others won't believe. They'll reason. When the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding. But the time will come when your faith will be rewarding. The time will come when their reasoning will also be rewarding, but in the wrong way. In the wrong way. I want you to slip your hands up with me. I want to pray with you. I come to this sacred desk night after night, the house of God, the ground and pillar of the truth. And I talk with you, and I reason with you, and I pray with you. And I tell you the truth, and I lie not. I tell you the truth. I tell you what's right and I tell you what's wrong. And I tell you how to do right and I tell you when you're doing wrong. You can't point your finger at me and say, Brother Pike, you wasn't honest with me. I told you. I told you what was right. I told you what was wrong. It's up to you to do it, folks. All of this churchism. Churches, hundreds and thousands of churches and denominations. One big vomit in the sight of God. Lukewarm, he said, I'll vomit you or spew you out of my mouth. The Laodicean lukewarm church age of vomit. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. All of my tables are filled with vomit. Oh, precious children of God that love God, that are sincere. You are precious in His sight. And the churches are literally filled with things that are distasteful to Him. Hundreds and millions of them that feel that God loves them and He's going to make allowance because there's so many of them. Oh, brother, He'll never let one bad one in. Never, never let one bad one in. He's the God that will never allow not for one bad one. Strive to enter in, for few there be that find it. Strive for many shall try and not be able. Do your very best. Without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. That's what He's coming for. Father of heaven, in the name of your Son Jesus, I stand as just one of the people. I alone, Father, being the least of all of them, just as another person, I too have to answer at the judgment, Holy Father, for all I've said and all I've done. I have to answer there just like these people do. I have to stand there, dear Father, and I ask you to have mercy on me now, and in that day, have mercy on me. Oh, dear Father, have mercy on these precious children of God. I know you have, and I know that you will. Have mercy, dear Father. Look down upon us and help us to do right. Help us to be holy and clean and pure. Help us to be godly and upright. Oh, Father, forgive our sins. And help us, dear beloved Father. Help us, strengthen us. In Jesus' name, heal sick bodies. Make the lame to walk, dear Father. Make the blind to see. Make the deaf to hear. Lord God, for in that day you said the deaf shall hear. Lord, and they that are dumb shall speak. Oh, and the lame shall leap like a hart. Make it to be so. In Jesus' beloved name. Jesus' beloved name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel the wonderful Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. Brethren, let's do right. Sisters, let's do right. You that are masters, that are on jobs, businessmen that are over men, love your men. Treat them right. Don't work undermining deals to take their money, to swindle them, to have something cooked up, as the world says, to take their money away from them so they can't draw their salary at the end of the week so that you can benefit by it. Don't cut corners to put a little more money in your pocketbook or bank account. Don't you know God will take the dearest thing to your heart for that? It may stack up and look good, but after a while, there'll be a payday. And you men that are working for the masters, whatever you do, give him a day's work. Don't try to be undermining. Don't do wrong. Try to treat him right and be honest. Whether he's on the job or whether he isn't on the job, give him a fair price. Whether he's got $1 million or whether he's got a dime, that's not important. You're not to go there to see how much you can get out of him. You are to give him a good price. Give him a fair price, because God may have reasons for his money, may have plans for his money. So that's nothing to you. You just treat him right. Treat him right. That's the thing to do. So it'll be well with you and your conscience. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Can you sing it again? Standing somewhere in those shadows, you'll find Jesus, for he's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Don't you love Jesus? Slip your hands up and let's love Jesus. Oh, Ramandariandarabashita Ramandariandarabusaya. Oh, Ramandalialavosita Ramandariandarabusharamasaya. Oh, Ramasiantalamoloshita Ramandalialavusaya. Halamundi alavasi taramandi aromoshitai. Yanamori anda romono shai anda ramasiya. Ho ramanasai. Holy Father, Holy Father. Sweet Holy Father, I feel you speaking to hearts. I feel you speaking to minds. Dear beloved Father, heal and save and forgive. Be with us, precious one. Help us, Lord, to love thee with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. Help us to love one another, Jesus. Oh, dearly beloved Father, help us to support the weak and encourage, lift up, and strengthen, beloved Father. Oh, help us to fast and pray. Help us to study. Help us to fellowship. Help us to win souls. Help us to labor together as a great group of children of God. Help us to be lenient and merciful and long-suffering, tender and kind and patient, full of compassion. Oh, merciful Father, forgiving even unto generation and generation. Help us in the name of the Lord. Be with us in this last closing hour, Lord, when darkness is enveloping the world. Be with us, beloved one. Oh, Lord, as we look and see springtime coming, knowing that springtime is here, Father. Oh, Lord, help us. Having braved the winter, oh, God, you helping us. Therefore, help us to have a great, prosperous time. Help everyone to open the springtime with the desire to do something for the house of God, with the desire to do something for the poor, the needy, the hungry, for the kingdom of God. Let this be a year, Lord, that we all purpose in our heart that we're going to do something for Jesus. Lord, that we're not going to give our strength, oh God, to the world. That we're not going to give our strength to the flesh. We're not going to give our strength to human desire, Father, and worldly ambition. We're not going to give our bodies and youth and strength and minds to that which profiteth not, Father. But we're going to give our strength and mind and body and ambition and talents and desire. Oh, our efforts and endeavors this year, oh Lord, and following year after year, unto the Lord Jesus Christ and His service. Be with us in the name of Jesus. Grant it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus, I Love Him, can we? I love Him. Do you really love Him? I love Him. Because He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing it again? I love Him.